Psalms 149 starts off saying, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints." He said, "Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp." Here's a text verse we want to look at. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation."
Amen.
Is anybody glad about that?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank You for this time we can come together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Lord, we don't even know why. We can't even figure this part out. But I sure am thankful. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless all the folks here tonight, God. And Lord, there's no doubt a good bit of folk watching from home. And I pray You'd be with them. And I just ask You, God, if You would, to take care of each one of us. We all have a spiritual need tonight. And God, I'm asking You to meet it. We may not even know what it is ourselves, but You know. And so I'm just asking You to meet it, Lord. Take care of us and watch over us. Feed us like we need feeding. Use us like we need using. God, we'll give You the glory. Thank You for this church. I pray You bless it for Your glory in this town, in this country, in this world. God, may the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ go through all the lands as a mission work through this church. And we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 149, verse number 4. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people." The Bible said He will beautify the meek with thanksgiving. I'd like to preach on this thought, if I could, bringing loveliness into living. It's always a blessing when you can see Christians that enjoy life. I like to see people enjoy life. To me, it's kind of a downer, if you will, kind of discouraging when you see people that says they're saved, but they look so discouraged all the time.
Well,
I mean, we used to say this, see, they look like they was weaned on a dill pickle. And some people have even went as far as to say they look like their mother-in-law moved in with them. I don't look like that. And I'm not prideful. And I'm trying to be humble. But there's a lot of things about life that are so enjoyable. And for me and for you, for us as Christians, we have to make a focus on what it is that we're after. This afternoon, these men, these veterans, they gathered up over here early. 6 o'clock. They gathered up. They're after something. They're after something. They're wanting to get a ministry established. They're wanting to see others. And if you're in here and you're a veteran tonight, 6 o'clock every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 6 o'clock every Wednesday. You come out, Brother Tim, they got coffee. I don't say for the ministry, I'm doing stuff over here, but I always try to show up for the coffee and donuts. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm getting a better hold on that, Sister Sarah. All I got today was coffee. Walked out of the donut area. Looked like if I'd have got one, I'd have got mugged by the look on some of them faces in there. Amen. Say amen, Brother Chase. Amen. But when you're after something for the Lord, when you really want something from the Lord, you've got to learn to pursue it. Now you've got to know, opposition's going to get in the way. Things are going to happen. The devil's going to throw stumbling blocks in our path. And it might be from the very place that you'd never dreamed. You'd think, well, I can't believe that a brother would have said something like that and become a stumbling block. Well, you can believe it. I can't believe a sister would have said something like that and become a stumbling block. Let me remind you of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away. A soft answer. Sometimes we just feel like we got to say something. And I found out too many times, if you use a soft answer, a kind answer, maybe even a compassionate answer, no telling what the Lord might just do with that. I mean, it makes a difference to somebody. So I want to look at something for a little bit, just a little while tonight, if we can, that maybe in my life, maybe in your life, God can bring some things back that used to be. I'm not saying that there was a day that you had all of this and you don't know more, but I can go back to a time in a man's life that I've read about that had this. He had this, and it left. And so now mankind, his whole life has been filled with sadness and troubles and problems and heartaches. And I mean just one thing after another. And the Lord says right here, He will beautify the meek with salvation. My heart has been so stirred these last couple of weeks and months, and how God's been moving around here and people getting saved. And they're not just getting saved, but they're getting saved and coming back to church. I've seen the time when a lot of people make professions, Brother Gary, and I really wish they'd have said bye when they left on that service. So we didn't see them no more. And I don't know. Well, I know this, whenever I got saved, I wanted to go back to church. I really did. God did something on the inside of me that stirred me, and just I wanted to be back. I didn't know what all was going to take place at church, but I knew this. I got saved at a church environment, and I wanted to be back to see what else was going to happen in that church environment. I wanted to be encouraged from the Bible. I wanted to learn from the Bible. I wanted to be trained from the Bible. As somebody told me how to get saved, I found out firsthand the next day, I found out I need to learn how to show somebody how to get saved. It's important. Every one of us knows somebody that's not saved. Every one of us knows someone that if they don't get saved, and maybe I might say get saved soon, they could end up being in hell for eternity. And we've used that word so much, it's become such a common word, that it really don't mean much. So let me say it like this. They might just go to hell, but they're going to go to hell and they're going to burn for eternity. Yeah. I think that ought to be a sobering thought, that we would, if we know somebody that is headed in that direction, or their life looks like they're going to do something in that direction, it looks like we ought to be the first ones to jump up and say, hey, I know you don't want to hear this. I know the first thing you're going to say is, keep that religion at your house or at the church down there. But can I tell you, there's a lot of people in hell this morning that wish they had one more chance. And I think the last thing that I should do, and the last thing that you should do, is to give up and quit on somebody just because they said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So I want to look at some things that God's going to give us to bring this this loveliness, if you will, this shining, if you will, into the life of a Christian, in our lives. I need it, Brother Danny. I need God to do something extra special. I feel kind of like, how many has ever had a banana split? Anybody? Isn't things not just wonderful? Does anybody notice they don't make them like they used to? I mean, they used to just bananas, three different types of ice cream, chocolate syrup from one end. If I don't quit, y'all going to all get up and leave. Go to Dairy Queen right now. I can see it on your faces. You want one right now. But at the end of this, when they get ready, they add a little something extra special. They put Cool Whip or whipped cream all across the top of it. And you think, well, that's it. I mean, they dressed it up. They put everything needed. And then they dressed it up and put this. But there's a little something extra they put on that thing. You've got to have a cherry. You've got to have a cherry. And I'm saying there's always more to come. Can I tell you the Christian life's like that?
Amen.
I didn't just get saved. But when I got saved and I volunteered for the service.
Amen.
I got saved and I went back to church. I got saved and it automatically nominated me, volunteered me to report for duty. I remember E.B. Hill saying this one time. He's in heaven tonight, I pray. I believe he is, Brother Darnell. I believe he is. His testimony said. You know, we have to be careful. Let me just stop right there and say this. We see a lot of people that don't live the Christian life like we think they should. And the first thing we want to do is take their salvation away. Ain't you glad God didn't tell us that would be our job? Ain't you glad? You're going to be so surprised when you get to heaven and find out who's there. Probably going to be surprised when you get to heaven and find out who ain't there. I know who is going to be there. I don't know about y'all. But I know about me. I know I'm going. I know I'm going. I pray you do too. I believe you are. I want you to notice some divine provision that God gave. Look in this verse right here. He said this, He will beautify the meek with salvation. One of my more interesting, pleasurable mission trips that I go on from time to time is just a little bit south of Miami down there. And I went down there one of the first times I went. First time I went down there, Brother John, I got down there and I thought, man, all these old, beautiful buildings, I mean, they are just structures that is unbelievable. Buildings built back in the 40s and the 50s. And they're standing there strong. And I mean, listen, you don't see any parts of that building crumbling or anything. But Tracy, it was amazing to see the structure, wasn't it? And I asked the preacher, I've told this before, I asked the man that we was with, I said, these buildings are amazing. I said, but why don't they paint them? He said, you can't eat paint. And whenever you don't have extra money, you don't waste it on paint. But there's some things that sure would change the outer appearance of that. And God has given us something to change the appearance of ourselves. Now, I know whenever you get saved and when I get saved, I know God does a great, great work on the inside because He moves on the inside. Now, I wish, and it hadn't happened yet. I know it will one day. I'm going to get a new body. But as of right now, He ain't really changed nothing on the outside for me. And I know y'all are probably praying and saying, God, I sure wish you'd hurry up and do it. But until that day comes, I'm just going to say this. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And so we see some of the divine provision that God gives us. And it is when He will beautify the meek, what the Bible says right there in verse number 4. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So I'm trying to understand this, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking, Brother Tracy, that salvation changes people. He said he's going to beautify the meek with salvation. You may not have changed a lot, but something had to change in you when you got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. I remember whenever Mr. Buck Eddy got saved, I went by his gas station one day, a little while after that, and we're standing there talking. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you know the sky just looks bluer now." I mean, if you knew Mr. Buck Eddy very long, that's one thing you wouldn't have heard come out of his mouth. He said, "Preacher," he said, "the birds even sound better." I mean, God does some changing in us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not mad at the Lord for changing nothing about me. There wasn't nothing about the old me that I liked good enough that I said I'd rather keep that rather than have this new salvation. So as we see what the Lord is doing, He desires to bring back the loveliness into living that's been destroyed by sin. Man, hadn't sin done a job? Hadn't sin changed some things? Oh, my goodness. You know, people don't even think nothing about sin no more. Nothing. I wish the conscience of people were not so seared as it is. I think I was telling y'all this evening I'd stop by the store up here this evening. I was coming to the church, and there was a young man working there, Brother David, and I'd never seen him before. And a young man, and I said, "You're new on the job?" He said, "I am." I said, "Well, I thought so, maybe. Because I've been here a few times and never seen him before." I said, "I'm glad you got a job. I'm glad he's working. Thank God. I wish everybody would go to work." Say amen right there. I wish either they'd go to work or go home and whatever they need to do to quit draining our Social Security. And I said, you probably don't know me. He said, "No, sir." I said, "I didn't figure you did." I said, I'm a preacher. He goes, "Okay." I said, I figure if you knew I'd been a preacher, you wouldn't have been wearing a hat with something like that written on it. And I said, "There's other preachers comes in here too. And preachers' wives. And little children." Brother Gary, he snatched that thing off his head. He said, "Sir, I'm sorry." You know, somebody just needs to say something once in a while. I promise you this, Brother Jeremy, I promise you, I didn't say nothing to try to hurt him. I thanked him over and over and over. But there's just something down on the inside of me right now that just can't hardly stand that. I cannot hardly stand to hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain. If I hear it, if they take God's name in vain, it hits me, it pierces, it cuts me on the inside, and I'm telling you, I feel like I'm bleeding to death. It hurts. Because God did something in us to point us back in the direction of loveliness, not worldliness. If that kind of stuff don't bother you, I would be concerned about that. I really would. The Bible points us to salvation. Being saved, being turned around, being transformed into this new creature. The salvation that we've gotten, this salvation that he's talking about right here, comes in the form of, presented to us in the form of Jesus Christ. He's to be received. I received him. You received him, Brother Brian. You received him just a week ago, week and a half ago now. Received him as your Savior. Until you get to the place, sister, until you got to that place, you said, I do not have Christ in my heart, but I want Him. You've got to, until you get to the place where you're saying you're going to look up toward heaven, however you say it, however you pray it, and you're going to say, God, what I've got, what I am is not giving me peace. I have no hope. I need You to change me. To be more like You. He's to be received. He's God's gift to mankind. Jesus Christ was. John 3:16, He was given on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, whosoever, anybody, how could we say He died for him, but not him? If God, the Bible says this, Brother Darnell, you can help me, that God is not willing that any should perish. I know any is only a three-letter word, but I'm telling you that's a mighty big word, ain't it? Ain't that a powerful word? You know what makes it more powerful? When it's your children that you want to get saved. When it's your family that you want to... When it's your wife that you want to see get saved. When it's your husband... I'm saying that God does do great things for us. I want to read you a few verses right over here in Romans chapter 8. If you want to flip over there, you're welcome to. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 12, I'm going to start reading. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 12, the Bible said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So who is that talking about? That's talking about somebody that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. The Bible says this, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, can I say this? Not only were we pointed toward the cross, but we are given through the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is who directed you. The reason that you sat in church this past Sunday morning and your heart just about to explode out of your chest. Has anybody ever been under conviction so bad that you leaned forward so people couldn't see your shirt moving because your heart was beating so hard? I have. And you sat there so scared of whatever. And all you needed all along was to say yes, Lord. Amen. You know what I'm telling you? I'm thankful. I'm thankful, number one, that her mama stayed. Yeah. Encouraged her to come back. I'm thankful, number two, that the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to her heart. Amen. And to their hearts. And I'm thankful that they was willing to come back to church and say, whatever, Lord. Yeah. Whatever. I'll take it. Give me the package. I want it all. Say, what do you get? Eternal life? Absolutely. Is that all you get? No. Peace of God? I want the package. Amen. Give me the combo. I want it all. Amen. I'm just saying. Let me finish reading. I was reading over here. I think I stopped somewhere around verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now I'm going to bring this back real easy so y'all will understand this real quick. What happened the morning, the day you got saved, was you were born again into the family of God. You got adopted into the family of God. Jesus Christ died for you. You said, I'll take that package. I'll accept Christ as my Savior. and He made you as He's made me and these other folks in around here that's already been saved, joint heirs with Christ, so that whenever we get to heaven, whatever Christ has is ours too. You say, that is crazy. That's hard to imagine. I know. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But I'm telling you, but I'm thinking, I don't care. He said, I'm getting it all. I was telling Brother Caleb today when we were sitting there, he said, you'd have to know Brother Caleb. He says, Brother Edward, how's the church? I said, Brother Caleb, God's doing it. He said, amen. I said, I mean, He's doing it. He said, and He's waiting on me to say what He's doing. And so I didn't wait on Him to ask me the question. I just went ahead and told Him. I said, everything good, He's doing it. Everything, He's doing it. Now, He ain't causing problems. He's bringing cheer. He ain't running people off. He's bringing them in. Amen. If you're visiting here tonight, we're glad you're here. Amen. Y'all have helped me because I got more texts about people not coming tonight than I did people coming. And I know, listen, I understand people work hard. I understand sometimes people's days are very long. I understand whenever they do get a chance to get off their feet, you don't have no idea how many people go to this church with bad feet. I'm serious. Y'all looking at me like, I mean, could you imagine being on your feet all day long? And then the preacher says, I tell you, bless God, you better be in church tonight. I don't care if your feet fall off. Nah. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for everyone that shows up. Everyone. Driving a long way. Thank you. Come first Wednesday night, you've been here since you've been saved. First Wednesday night, y'all been. I keep up with statistics. I'm telling you, I'll be able to tell y'all stuff about y'all selves by a month from now. You'll be saying, "Oh my goodness!" Mama told Faith today. She says, "I'm not gonna have one church. Can you come by and get me?" 95 years old and trying to find a way to come to church. That says something, don't it? Don't it say something? I'm thankful. Thank God. We receive Christ. Listen. It's wonderful when you got saved. But let me tell you now, since you've had this divine provision that God's given, now you got something else that's going to take place. And what it is, it comes down to this. You're going to have to allow God to do what God wants to do in your life. Now, are you letting the Lord? You folks have been saved for a while. Are y'all letting the Lord do in you what God wants to do? Are you letting Him work on you and in you? Are you just exactly like Christ wants you to be? For a new convert, you know what we tell new converts? But David, we tell new converts. Now, just wait on the Lord and read your Bible. And I tell people all the time, they say, what should I do? And then I'm saying, read the book of John. Read the book of John. Read the book of Romans. Read John and Romans. There's two great books in the Bible that'll help you see. You're going to come across stuff in there. You're going to in the book of Romans, you're going to get in that and you're going to find out in chapter 1 things that God don't like. I was talking with Brother Taylor today, and he was telling me, he says he went to this church one time, and he was at this church, and a real small church. He said, if you don't think this was back in the hills, he said, I was over 30 miles to the closest Dollar General. Yeah. I know y'all probably thinking that's Nairobi or someplace like that, but that's really a long, you find 30 miles from a Dollar General, you have gotten to the mountain somewhere. And he said this man got saved and everything, and he's talking about what the Lord had done for him and how that God blessed him and brother, you just have to know Brother Caleb. Brother Caleb just, he's like, amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. And he's just going on, you know. And Brother Cat, innocent as he can be, Brother Gary, he says, "Tell me, brother, where do you work at?" Oh, boy. Sometimes that can be a real tough question. He said, "Well, as a matter of fact," he said, "I'm a bartender." Now, I know. Oh, don't get up and leave what I'm fixing to say. Please don't. Promise me you're going to stay seated. You're going to stay right. But Donnell, you ain't going away. All right. How many of y'all knew that when people get saved, it might take the Lord a little while to train them and show them? He told Brother Caleb that. He said, "I'm a bartender." Brother Caleb says, "Amen, brother." What is she going to say? What is she going to say? And he said, "I'm praying about this." And he said, "I'm asking God what He wants me to do."
Amen.
He's already seeing something. You know why he's seeing something? Because he got saved on Sunday morning. And since Sunday morning, he's already been trying to witness the people that's coming in there. Well, some of y'all ain't witness to nobody that you don't work in a bar. He said they won't listen to me. I'm thinking, well, here you are. You know, you're going. Putting something on the counter and said, "That'll be $6.50. That ain't counting the tip now. He said, "I make good money." He said, "But something just ain't right." He said, he told him, brother. He said, "When God opens that door for you to go through it," he said, "don't you hesitate." He said, "Now you may not make as much money as what you're making right now." He said he went home. And the man had long hair. And I know that makes you jealous. But said he come back. He said, "You know, you didn't tell me this, preacher." He said, "But that Bible says something about my long hair."
"How about that?"
He said, "I was reading about it." He said, "It does. Why is it that when the Holy Ghost doesn't deal with somebody as quickly as we think He should, we jump in line quickly to take over?"
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're right.
These folk right here, they may have some knowledge about the Bible. But I want them to have knowledge about salvation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's going to take a little while to come.
Yes.
But it'll come. And you'll grow. I love having converts, new converts in the church.
Amen.
He said, "You didn't mention that to me." He said, "I figured the Lord would show you."
Amen. Yeah.
And he read it on his own. And he went and got him a haircut.
Yeah.
Oh. God wants us to really take notice. Are you listening to me? God wants us to really take notice of us. And if we'll take notice of us, we'll probably not have time to be focused on everybody else. Remember whenever Peter asked the Lord over in the book of John? He's getting into John's personal life and business. And Jesus just asked the Lord. He said,
What is that to you? What is that to you?
We got to allow the Lord to do this work in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm going to read this right quick to you. Verse number 17, the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." Things that I used to think were okay, I don't think they're okay as a Christian no more. As a Christian. Verse number 18, And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself. We're talking about these new things, all these things that are of a new creature. That's the topic in verse 17. Verse 18, he said, "And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ." You know, every country that I've ever been, I've been in a few different countries, and every one of them I've ever been in has an ambassador over there, a representative of the United States in those different countries. I mean, some strange countries. And you think, wow. Why have they got somebody over here? And the Bible says, "And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin," talking about Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You want to read a good chapter? John 17. Brother Brian, John 17. I've already told you about that. Great, great chapter. Write it down. If you've never read John chapter 17, you've never read the Lord's Prayer. John 17. You've got to have it. I'm just saying this thing. We notice that He will beautify the meek with salvation, but I want you to notice this. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So somebody's got to be meek. That's what it said. He will, the only thing that keeps anyone from enjoying everything that God's wanting to give you, He's wanting to give it to you. He's willing to give it to you. And can I say, He's waiting to give it to you. He wants to give you something of a Christian life. And there's one thing that could stand in the way, and that's us. I don't want to stand in the way of that. I don't want to stand in the way. What is it? It's my pride. I don't need nothing. I'm a grown man. I work for what I got. I mean, how many men have we heard say that? How many women have we heard say that? I don't need no help from nobody. Well, we do. I need the Lord to help me. I can't make it without Him. I'm telling you, there's no way I could have ever went to heaven without Him. No way. So we got to get this pride thing out of the way. So now we got a problem, and we got to find out that one of the things that we need, we got to be, is meek and humble. Man, it's hard to be humble. Songwriter said it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I don't know if that's something that I want to put on over my headboard or nothing like that there and the mantle over the fireplace. But can I say, you've got to have this. You've got to be humble enough to admit you have a need. That's what you did. I have a need, Lord. Would you please help me? Would you please save me? And then you've got to be humble enough to accept God's gift. You've got to. You say, all these things, I can't see it in humility. James chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible said, But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. Can I say this? All he's wanting to do is to bring back loveliness into living. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. This don't help me, Brother Edward. I know. If I was jumping up and down, hooping, hollering, screaming, and shouting, you'd say, wow, boy, he preached the house down, didn't he? But in Bible verses, it's more important than me hooping and hollering and jumping up and down.
Amen.
The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm telling you, it divides, it pierces. Somebody said, it helps me. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Say, well, if he's wanting to bring loveliness back, when was loveliness? Now, I'm so glad you asked that, because there was a time. In Genesis chapter 1, flip over there and read with me. Can you do that? Can you imagine there was a time when sin was not dominant, sin had not taken hold, sin was not an issue? Genesis chapter number 1. I mean, it's just really, it's hard for me to, Brother Larry, I'm having a hard time just picturing this in my mind, that a man could be living and walking and working and just carrying on life, and sin's not a problem yet.
Well,
I think, would you say amen right here? I think that would be a pretty lovely life. I mean, that would be a peaceful life. Let's look at it. Chapter 1 and verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Well, I think they're off to a real good start already. I mean, real good start just for the very fact that God created man in his image. What could be wrong with them? I mean, who's going to say, that's one ugly man right there. I'd have been scared to say that about him. He's created in the image of God. I'd have been scared to say that is one ugly woman right yonder. She's created in the image of God. If I'd have said anything, I'd have said, wow, perfection. I mean, there's no room for improvement on this couple. The Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I mean, everything that's out there, man is over all of it. Hey, and Adam, he's taking care of all the animals, all the birds, all the fish, whatever God's told him to do. And he ain't mad about his job. He ain't grumbling and complaining. You don't read where he went to prayer and said, Lord, the woman you gave me is lazy. She don't work. You know how it is. You got people on the job that, you know, you're always saying, well, they don't do nothing, and I wish the supervisor would catch them. You know, Brother Tracy, you better hope the boss don't never catch you, is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You just, ooh-wee, wow, trouble in the makings. I'm just saying, man, you're talking about a time when sin's not ever thought of between the human race. The Bible said in verse 29, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, do it shall be for meat. Man. I know that don't sound good to a lot of people, because we are living in the age of pizza and chicken wings. And how could we live without it? They did. And they enjoyed apples and probably peaches and oranges and every other kind of fruit that just grew in the garden. And he said, that'll be enough for you. The Bible said, to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. I'd say there was loveliness of life. What peace. What an amazing time. You say, but we can't get like that. Well, sure. Sure we can. We just got to get our focus back. Just got to get our focus back. We just got to get our mind on the good things of God. That's why we enjoy coming to church. That's why we enjoy singing these songs out of this songbook. That's why we enjoy it when somebody gets up with a word of testimony and can't even tell about how good God's been to them, squalling and slobbering and spitting. That's why whenever somebody comes to church and has never been born again and they said, Lord, I'm headed to hell, would you save a sinner like me? And everybody that is saved looking around going, praise the Lord. I've never been in this church when somebody got saved and somebody went, oh man, wish they wouldn't have got saved. But every time somebody got saved, Brother Danny, every time somebody got saved, everybody was excited and thankful and happy and loving it. Because there ain't nothing as lovely as new life. All because of Jesus Christ. But Bobby Cox preached last night. And I thought he's 75 years old. I thought he was a little bit older than that. I thought he'd been saved longer than that. He said, I've been saved for 47 years. I said, what a blessing. And I thought, man, I've been saved now for 52 years. And it's just as sweet today as it was way back then. I'm thankful. I love it. I can't wait till tomorrow, because somewhere tomorrow, God's going to let me come up with somebody that I'm going to be able to talk to about Him. And I'm going to tell them about how good He was. Invited a little girl to church, Cracker Barrel. Me and Brother Caleb. And I said, y'all don't have them green baby lima beans no more, do you? I love them things. Cooked down with a thick gravy. Oh, I love them. She said, we do not. I said, sure. I said, I'm kind of frustrated about that. And then I asked her about, I got me a cup of coffee, you know. I said, do y'all have, she said, you want milk? I said, do y'all have that French vanilla creamer? She said, we don't. I said, well, I said, now I'm kind of mad about all this. Sister Jones, she was a sweet little girl, just nice. I said, I'll tell you something I'm not mad about, though. She said, what's that? I said, January the 27th, 1972. I said, I got saved. I said, and I ain't been mad about that since. I said that, and literally she done like this here. Me too. Ain't it good to hear somebody say me too? Well, you got to open the door for them once in a while. Bring the loveliness back in their life. Let's do it, church. Let's do it. Father, thank you for letting us come together tonight. I love you, Lord. And thank you for loving me. God, you're so good to us. Man. God, I'm so thankful, Lord. These people just getting saved. God, here they are on a Wednesday night, Lord. God, I hope you've let them learn something about your word. God, if anything, just let them know that I love them and I'm thankful for them. And we know that you love them because, God, you watched your son die on an old rugged cross just for them. And I pray, God, that they'll grow in grace. Become soldiers of the cross. Tell more people about you. And we'll thank you for it. Be with us, I pray, through the rest of this week and bring us back on Sunday. God, help us to be a witness to bring folk with us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.